All right, welcome into the Sunday night edition of the Longhorn Livestream. My name is Jerry Hamilton, joined by CJ Vogel, and lifetime Longhorn CJ Vogel, lifetime Longhorn Rod Babers, who got a lot of compliments from BJ Johnson, Roy Williams, and Sloan Thomas. If you didn't see the interview I was lucky enough to do with the original Big Three, that's on the On Texas Football YouTube. I had to ask what their thoughts were on Rod Babers. Rod hadn't seen it yet.
So I can't wait. I can't wait. I'm going to watch it right after this. I'm going to watch it.
That was pretty good stuff. Of course, big visit weekend. Yes, we're getting a lot of questions. There's some outstanding highs out there. I put out two. I think we're a little beyond that. But I was, hypey Father's Day to everybody, as I put out on Twitter. But, yeah, it was a good weekend. CJ and myself went in the stalker mode this weekend. We were at the airport on Friday when the guys arrived. We're at the airport Sunday for the guys that were flying out. CJ, what were kind of your immediate takeaways from the weekend so far?
Well, aside from the highs, Jerry, I mean, I think Texas did a great job with a number of big-time prospects, whether they be in-state elite guys or some of these guys that flew in from out of state. Texas really, really made some impressive steps in terms of these very important prospects in town, whether it be DeCorian Moore, Nick Brooks, John Mills, Kevin Wynn. That's a big one as well. And, of course, Tristan Castro out of California too. So I thought Texas did really well coming out of this weekend. They had a great opportunity for the players to kind of get an idea of how it was like to just kind of sit around and be a part of the team. They took them to victory lap Saturday evening to watch Tank Davis, the boxing matches. And by all accounts, everything that we've heard so far, it went very well just to be able to hang out with the team, see what it's like to do, kind of hang out in Austin and be away from football a little bit. But I thought it was a very important weekend and they did a great job.
One of the highlights of the weekend, and there's some videos that CJ or myself posted, interviews with players. It ended up being the karaoke Saturday night, which a couple of the coaches took part in, apparently. But Nick Brooks apparently stole the show, 67360, singing a country song in karaoke. So, look, I mean, that means he had a good time. You only take the mic, Rod, on official visit if you're having a good time.
Man, I've never heard of karaoke on official visits before. That's a new thing. They didn't have that when I was out there. That's pretty wild. And you're right. You got to be feeling good. Do we know what song was it?
We don't know that.
Okay, you got to find that out. That's a wide range of country songs you can choose for karaoke.
Yeah. But you figure, man, he's from Iowa, right? That force fed down his throat on the radio there, and in Iowa, big country music state there. But it'll be interesting to see. I can't wait to talk to Nick. He's a long flight today, a connecting flight. I can't wait to talk to him and ask what song he's singing. I'm hoping to get that for you guys for the winning drive tomorrow. Maybe that'll be an intro music or something. I think we're going to get to all those questions. You guys have a lot of questions. One I want to get to immediately, though, is this one from E-Kim. Does the Austin Airport have any issues with all of you guys out there talking to recruits? Not so far. It's been awesome. You know, we just go pay to park and hang out, wait for those guys to show up. We're outside, we're waiting outside. So, before they go in and get in there in the security lines and whatnot, the clearance lines, go get their tickets if they don't have them in hand. No issues so far, CJ. And look, I'll say the funny thing is, this was the first weekend that you went on a Friday last Friday. I went this Friday. And then the same guys, it's like, we had a comment from a mom today. An aunt, of one of the recruits said, wow, we've seen y'all twice now. You know what I mean? On Texas football. And I was like, look, if you see us twice, that's a good sign. If you see us once, it's a maybe. If you don't see us at all, you're probably not a priority recruit. So the rules of the airport is coming out at this point in recruiting.
I like that.
You also never know who you might see at the airport. Of course, Jerry, you ran into the lead singer Blue October on Saturday or on Friday. I actually kind of saw a very important visitor coming back from some destination. Not sure where exactly, but Chris Del Conte was walking out of the airport this afternoon. So maybe it was just a Father's Day trip. Maybe it was you know, who knows where he was at. But he was coming back, headed back to Austin, headed back to work for the week coming up. Of course, some big moves coming, maybe, potentially, in the baseball world as well for the Texas. So we'll dive into that a little bit later. But airport living, man, that's part of the job. It's a, you never know what you might get into whenever you're up at the airport, but you never know.
I know everybody's grateful for the nuggets and the great interviews you guys get when y'all out there. So I'm appreciative. I can tell you that right now because it's great content and we appreciate you guys' hard work. I'll just say that, number one. Oh, and I got a question. Can I ask a question? Because I saw this on social media. I'm still catching up because I went to Houston for Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to everybody out there to see my dad. Just got back like 20 minutes ago. DeCorian Moore, did I see his – how many members of his family came on this –
Yeah, I think we lost. There was at least 15, right? I mean,
are you serious?
Here's the thing, though, Rod. So the mom's from Austin. She went to Old Lanier High School. Okay. Grandmother, I believe, went to University of Texas. There is a lot of family. There you go. There is a lot of family members that live in the Austin area.
Oh, nice.
On the mom's side of the family. So, yeah, that's awesome. No way. So, we got to count that. That's 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
That's, I don't know. You guys haven't been in recruiting in a while. How often, even if there are family members that are from that town or near that town, how often do you have that double digit people go on a recruiting official visit with you? How often does that happen?
That's the most I've ever seen in a picture.
That's got to be a good sign, right? It's got to be a good sign.
I mean, no pressure to Corian. I think it's pretty obvious where everybody wants the Corian to go. I mean, does anybody see any Ohio State gear in that picture? Any Oregon gear?
Well, it's pretty orange to me.
Yeah.
Man, that was, when I saw that, because like I said, I've just been catching up, I was like, is that? That is unbelievable to have that. But you know what? It's a good sign for Texas. I'm with you. But that was shocking. I'm glad you said it's the most you've ever seen too, Jared, because I've never heard anything like that.
Look, if I see more than that, I'm going to be super impressed. Because anytime you have to literally count the people in there, that's a lot of family support. Somebody, E-Kim, asked, what kind of foods did Kevin Wynn try cooking this weekend? CJ, he cooked steaks, right, at two different places. So – I think he went to Crave in Austin, and I think he went to Perry's Steakhouse, maybe one of the Perry's, and he did a little cooking at both of those. And I can't say what he said off camera. He gave one of the restaurants a higher grade than the other. They may have the same owner, which is interesting. I don't know about that. But yeah, he definitely got to cook. I think he cooked for a little bit for the coaches as well. But then obviously culinary is huge with Kevin Wynn, the 4-star D lineman out of Greensboro, Georgia, Greene County. And South Carolina's done a great job with that. And the key there is, you know, Texas doesn't have, I guess, culinary as a specific major, right? They have nutrition, and you got to go a different route. But what Austin does have is an unbelievable ability to network in the restaurant industry, right? Big-time chefs in Austin, restaurant owners in Austin. So Texas, I thought, did a great job attacking that angle with Kevin Wynn. He had a tremendous visit. I don't know if there's a video of what he cooked. I don't know if Matthew Hutchinson, our great producer, may find that. But again, Kevin Wynn will be at FSU next weekend. He was at Georgia the first weekend in June. Then he was at South Carolina. It's one of those four schools for Kevin Wynn. I wondered going into the visit if Austin was too big, Rod Babers. Kevin Wynn is from Greensboro, Georgia, small town 40 miles south of Athens. Not that you're that far from Atlanta, but you still grew up in smaller town in Georgia, in Columbia, South Carolina, in Athens, and Tallahassee just aren't that level city like Austin when you at first glimpse or when you start getting out in Austin. But he did not appear overwhelmed, CJ. He had great things to say about his first visit to Austin, as well as mom did.
Yeah, 100%. I thought the number one thing that stood out to me about that conversation that you had with Kevin Wynn, Jerry, was you mentioned it just a minute ago, the networking, the opportunities in the city of Austin. Obviously, it's a big city, big metropolis area, a lot of opportunities to get out and meet some folks, shake some hands, get into a business, wherever you might be. He said that was a big part of his visit, just being able to get an idea of what the city could provide as well as the university, whether or not be his intended major that he wants to go to pursue. But the opportunities outside of the university are endless in this city. And that was something that stood out to him as well. I thought Texas did a great job as well. I mean, you're looking at Kenny Baker really starting to feel what it's like to get these big-time prospects from out of state into campus, let them see what Austin can provide as well as the university. Kevin Wynn comes away with a very, impressionable visit. I thought Texas did a great job with him.
Yeah, let's talk receivers because a lot of people are asking these questions. So we're going to get to all your questions tonight. We'll be here as long as the voice holds up. But so Shook Ones asks, Kelshon, Tanuk, March, who takes one of the wide receiver spots first? Great question. So I would say this. I think there's DeCorian Moore. There's Jamie French coming in next weekend. There's Kalik Lockett in the mix of that. Obviously, he was at FSU this weekend. And then he goes to Alabama, then Texas. But then there's Kelshon Johnson and Tanuk Hines. And I know there's been some, I don't know, in our industry or whatever, hey, does Texas want Kelshon Johnson? Yeah, I mean, look, Texas wants Kelshon Johnson. Jonte Cook hosted him this weekend. Steve Sarkisian tried to call him that Sunday evening when he was returning from the Texas A&M visit when kind of word got out that A&M made a huge move in that recruitment. Kelshon told me today he doesn't know if he makes the USC trip, which to me means you're not making the USC trip. I mean, USC will try to talk him into it, but he said, look, man, I'm going to A&M or Texas. He said, so I don't know if I'll take that visit. So I don't expect him to take the visit. Obviously, maybe he's convinced to. But Kelshon Johnson's going to decide between A&M and Texas. And if he doesn't take the USC visit, that means a decision could come pretty quick. If you stop the visit process, you're really close. So we'll see on that. We'll also see on Tanuk Hines. He was at Notre Dame this weekend. He's got Baylor scheduled next weekend. He's already been to USC, Texas, and Notre Dame. He also went to Arizona State in April. Where does that go? Does he take the Baylor visit, or does he just shut it down and decide between a Notre Dame and a Texas, possible USC? So that'll be interesting to see. I think Andrew Morris, I'm not sure where he kind of factors in. Very good player. I mean, all these receivers are really good. I mean, Daylon McCutcheon was on campus this weekend for an official visit as well. Obviously, next weekend is, like we mentioned, Jamie French and Kalik Lockett. So six receivers that are making official visits to Texas. Look, I know people ask about DeCorian Moore. All I'll say on DeCorian Moore, my opinion hasn't changed. I've had it at 65%. Somebody said if grandma's in the picture, the percentage should go up. I'd probably push it up to 70 just from that photo, and we'll see what happens. Scheduled to be at Oregon this weekend. Already made visits to Ohio State and LSU, DeCorian Moore. Nothing's changed, in my opinion, with the DeCorian Moore recruitment. I think CJ's at the same place.
Yeah, 100%. The one note I wanted to add on Kelshon Johnson, Jerry, is, look, Texas, you can read between the lines there. I mean, calling him immediately after getting back from College Station, if you're Steve Sarkisian, kind of indicates where he sits on that board. I do believe, as you mentioned a number of times, Jerry, Steve Sarkisian wants Kelshon Johnson in this class. You don't put Jonte Cook as your host if that's not the case. Jonte's a very influential piece on this Texas roster right now. He has a lot of ties, a lot of connections, and a lot of pull in the state of Texas as a borderline five-star guy out of DeSoto, a state champion. To put him in charge of this recruitment, hosting him over the weekend, that speaks a lot to me. And to your point about DeCorian again, to get all the family downtown in Austin, he put up a photo, I believe Saturday evening, of Sarkisian greeting his family, walking into the door at Moncrief. That says a lot to me. Again, I feel very comfortable with where Texas is in his recruitment right now. We heard a lot of positives following his time on campus this weekend as well. It sounds like Sarkisian did a great job making him feel like that number one priority. That was the case coming into the trip, as well as Friday night when the players and the recruits headed off into dinner to go kind of, get used to the city and kind of, get that first taste of what it was like at Texas. They were bused. They were shuttled out to dinner. Sarkisian was in the vehicle with DeCorian Moore and his mom making his way over to dinner on Friday night. So that kind of gives you an idea of where he was treated and how Sarkisian kind of prioritized him on the weekend as well.
Rod, I got a question for you coming up. We got a super chat we're going to get to. So you can think about this question, Rod, because I got to take a second for our sponsor, Joe Brown, here. But I want you to go back to your recruitment, and not necessarily yours, but your good buddy Jerome Sapp and Chris Sims. Because those are guys, Chris Sims committed to Tennessee, then he flipped to Texas. And Jerome Sapp, who are obviously your best buds with, visited A&M, visited Texas, obviously went to Notre Dame, where I thought he was leaning for a long time. But I want you to talk about that, kind of when you knew on that, kind of the things you, your conversations, when you knew, okay, Texas was making a run at Sapp, but he was going to Notre Dame. Chris Sims, when did you kind of know, okay, man, he's committed to Tennessee, but, man, I think this dude's coming with us. So kind of think about that, because this plays into all these recruiting conversations we have. Because Rod Babers, for those that don't know, was part of the number one ranked class in the country, Mac's first full class. But before we get to that and a super chat from Danny Wynn, I want to talk about our sponsor, Joe Brown. Joe has more than three decades of experience helping over 4,000 families to finance homes and investment properties. He also did Bobby Burton's first mortgage. So just a little note there. Bobby's known Joe a long time. Joe is a lifetime Longhorn fan with 2 degrees from the University of Texas and has helped many former University of Texas athletes and University of Texas professors with their real estate financing. So Joe Brown, the man to know there, 512-663-4744, veteran mortgage professional at Southside Bank. Joe Brown, thank you very much for being a sponsor of this Longhorn live stream. So, Rod, we're about to get the question from Dylan Wynn at Super Chat. What kind of do you remember about those recruitments? Because you're part of that. You're part of those conversations. Mm-hmm. CJ and I, we report on it. We hear about some of that stuff. But kids – prospects talk to prospects different. So what do you remember about those two recruitments I asked and kind of when did you know?
First of all, the Chris Sims recruitment, Tim Brewster, everybody know Tim Brewster recruiting. I mean, he's made, I call him the Ric Flair of recruiting. At one point, I mean, Tim Brewster was the best recruiter in college football, especially around the time he got Chris Sims and myself. He was a linchpin kind of that 99 class. Guy recruited Vince Young. I mean, he was a absolute monster on the recruiting trail. And, you know, he would keep us in touch and talk about, he was the one basically kind of formed our friendship before it happened. Bo Scaife, myself, Chris Sims, he would actually kind of give us updates on each other. It was the wildest thing. So when Sims committed to Tennessee, although I was not talking to him via Coach Brew, he was telling me, oh, don't believe it. Babers, don't believe that. Don't believe the hype. Don't believe the hype. He's like, he's coming to Texas. And I was like, but he already committed. He's like, he's coming to Texas. So, Brew, I don't know what Brew knew, but yeah. Brew knew the whole time. Or at least Brew acted like he knew the whole time. Maybe he did. So, he said he knew the whole time. But for when I talked to Sims later, Sims said, well, when he went to Tennessee, and I think he went multiple times, like official and unofficial, he said that he didn't like the way the team got to interact with one another. He said at times it seemed like guys were clicked up like that, you know, and they weren't. I mean, we talk about how, you know, Texas, the culture is great. It feels like a family. You know, guys talk about how, you know, they have the culture days where they get together and they talk about more than football. You know, coach choice, the players talk about how it's more than football, that kind of thing, and how close the team is. And he didn't feel like the team was really close. So just letting you know, that matters when you go on a recruiting visit.
That's coming off a national championship, by the way. That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, he's like, that's just his feeling. I'm sure somebody else had a different feeling, but his feeling was it didn't feel close. He didn't like the way the guys interact. And at Texas, he said the guys, you know, it felt more like a family. All the guys were hanging out with each other. And then we went out, all the different, you know, groups, whether it be position groups or whether it be the guys, different classes that came in together, they all hung out with each other. I mean, it was true. Like when I got there, I was hanging out with like Joe Walker and Greg Brown, old heads, because I worked out with them in the summertime and lived with them. Richard Hightower, my man who's now a special teams coach of Chicago Bears, I was hanging out with them, Kwame Cavill, and then KL would go work out. He used me like, you know, kind of a practice dummy. And the offseason, he'd be like, hey, baby, let's go out here. And we'd just run routes. And then I got to bump and run Kwame Cavill, and that's kind of where I refined my technique. So, yeah, I mean, that stuff mattered. And then the Jerome Sapp thing. I knew Jerome Sapp, he kind of liked Texas. He didn't like it more than he liked Notre Dame. And I know Sapp's people, not going to say who, his people weren't high on Texas. His people were high on Texas. And that had more to do with kind of the, like a history of the University of Texas and kind of race relations and stuff like that. That wasn't Sapp. I said that was his people. And I think his people were able to kind of influence his decision and put it on the top, like, hey, go to Notre Dame. You know, not Texas. So that's kind of hot. So I kind of knew, even though my man Sapp at Texas, one of his final schools, I kind of knew he was leaning Notre Dame. He really loved the pageantry, the tradition. I mean, it was almost romantic to him you know, the Notre Dame, the mystique about Notre Dame. And I mean, everybody's got their own thing that attracts him. And for him, the mystique and tradition of Notre Dame, it captivated him. He really, really loved it. And to this day, I'm going to say he's really proud of Notre Dame and the heritage of it. So that's what got him. Not that Texas doesn't have great tradition, but everybody knows there's a folklore and mystique about touchdown Jesus and Notre Dame and that kind of thing. Yeah.
No doubt about it. No doubt. All right. So super chat here from Dylan, sorry, not Danny. Don't change your name to Danny, Dylan. Dylan Wynn. Good seeing you guys at ABAIA. Oh. Seeing y'all and all the recruits. It was my only bright spot working at this airport. Well, hey, man, glad we can help, man. And that's actually pretty cool that you see all the top guys roll around. There's funny, one of the highlights today, CJ, was when Brandon Brown was in line getting his ticket, him and his mom and his older sister were in line getting a ticket. And I guess one of the Austin area, like the younger hockey kids that play club hockey, were going somewhere for a tournament. And that, and two of those guys jumped in, started talking to Brandon, wanted a photo with Brandon. So that was kind of one of the highlights today. I think that like catches, that's kind of cool for kids, because I don't think when you go on visits, you kind of expect that in an airport. They don't expect to see crazy people like me or CJ, you know, at the airport. But when like other, when fans, younger kids or their age kind of say, hey man, who are you, going to Texas, whatnot, and then they all jump in for photos, that was pretty cool to see. Nice. Today, but we got a lot of questions here, so let's start knocking out some of these questions, because we want to get to as many questions as we can. Is it me? Okay, W.A. Jones, is it me, or do Sloan, BJ, and Roy look like they can still suit up? Roy actually answered that question. He said, I can – inside the 20, I'll still go make the catch.
He said, I got one play left.
Look, BJ Johnson looks like he could play tomorrow, dude. I don't know what he does. I mean, I kind of looked at BJ. I was like, dadgum, dude. I mean, like, I was checking your age. You're 42, right? Man, I mean, that dude, he still looks like he can ball. I'm not going to lie. I mean, he was impressive. He was impressive. Cisco Diaz, thank you very much. Shout out to CJ and Jerry. CJ interviewed Cameron Dicker, which was great as well.
Wow,
and the reason we set up those interviews, we were at the Tee It Up for Cole Pittman charity golf tournament. 15th year that BJ, Sloan, Roy, Todd Hunt, former Texas player, lifetime Longhorn. They've done a great job keeping Cole's memory alive, having that charity tournament every year. So CJ and I were out at River Place Country Club for most of Saturday. CJ interviewed Cameron Dicker. That was awesome as well. I think Cameron's got a little bit of a golf game, by the way. I think he's sneaky a little bit. He's sneaky.
Most kickers do, because they got so much time, man.
I asked him. I said, hey, you know, what's the typical practice looking like for, you know, your kickers, your specialists? And so, we put in our work, you know, by our own speed. I'm like, all right, so we're not taking naps or working on the putting game in the indoor, right? He goes, oh, no, we're getting our work done, and then we'll focus about that afterward. Interestingly enough, I asked him about week two, that matchup against Michigan. Of course, guess who his head coach is now in L.A.? Jim Harbaugh. He said he's going to be talking a lot of game leading up to that game. I said, you don't want to take it easy? Maybe see how the game goes before start talking? He goes, no, all the fun's going to be the build up beforehand. If we lose, well, then I'll just be quiet a little bit. If we win, I'm going to get even louder.
Look, for those that don't know Jim Harbaugh's history, he is a trash talker extraordinaire. He used to call into the Jim Rome show after his playing days. He was in the smack off. Y'all remember the old Jim Rome smack off? Jim Harbaugh was in that for 2 or 3 years. He used to call in I used to listen to that every day. Jim Harbaugh would call in he'd just be driving down the whatever, 405, and just call in to the Jim Rome show and talk trash. It was kind
of awesome.
Yeah, he's got a little bit to him. We'll have to ask Connor Stallions how his game is now. All right, so Kelly Horns up. Jerry, any silent commits you know of? How many highs outstanding? Let's just go with a 4 spot and we'll work from there. All right. So it's I think things went well. This is a great question here by Heim Schwartz. Jerry, it was DeCorey Moore visited a spring practice and mentioned Ryan Wingo standing out. Nice little nugget to add to him asking for Wingo to host him this weekend. Yep. CJ Vogel actually broke that news that DeCorey Moore actually requested Ryan Wingo to be his host over the weekend. And I'll tell you, CJ, I think that shows a little bit of departed DeCorian Moore that really studies the game and is really studying this recruiting process.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Again, coming into the weekend, it was easy to kind of pin him to Colin Simmons. They're good friends on and off the field, played together. They have the Duncanville ties. I originally had anticipated that to be the pair coming into the weekend, but to pick Ryan Wingo and, you know, ask for Ryan Wingo, that speaks a lot about trying to pick his brain as to why another five-star wide receiver from out of state picked everything up and said, I'm going to go play for Steve Sarkisian, Chris Jackson, and, you know, understand why this is the offense he wanted to be a part of. Of course, we saw Ryan Wingo flash in the spring. He had a great time in the spring game as well. And to that comment too, which is a great point, by the way, it was DeCorian Moore who singled out Ryan Wingo as one of the big playmakers that he was able to keep his eye on while at on campus April 6th for one of the first scrimmages of the spring. That carries over. That carries weight. Of course, five stars, listen to five stars. Recruits recruit other recruits. That's a word twister.
Let me tell you, other teams are going to DeCorian Moore and say, hey, man, they're going to take these guys from the portal. Be careful over there. All Texas says, yeah, well, you must not watch the spring game because Ryan Wingo put up two touchdowns, multiple catches, big plays, was in it from the start. So, yeah, Ryan Wingo, his spring game really helps squash any of that recruitment. And by the way, so we want to throw out some of the – we got a lot more questions. We want to throw out the hosts. Who are some of the player hosts this weekend? So that can help trigger some questions for you guys as well. Kelshawn, we mentioned, Johnson was hosted by Jontay Cook. Dalen McCutcheon was hosted by DeAndre Moore.
Yep.
John Mills was hosted by Daniel Cruz. Lamont Rogers requested Trevor Goosby. That's the second person who requested a player. Brandon Brown was hosted by CJ Baxter, which I thought was a shrewd, smart move by the Texas staff. Kevin Wynn was hosted by Aaron Bryan. I think that's smart as well. Smaller town guys from outside the state of Texas. Andrew Marsh was hosted by Niblett. Pettijohn was hosted by Anthony Hill. Jonathan Cunningham hosted by Ty Anthony Smith. Lance Jackson hosted by Baron Sorrell. We probably have a couple other. Smith Orogbo was hosted by Zena, who mentioned when I talked to Smith Orogbo for a little team stuff, by the way, because Smith Orogbo, one of the things that impresses him, and he's going to announce July 1st, his announcement. He's going to OU this weekend. It'll be Texas, Texas Tech, or Oklahoma. But the thing I think that it really impressed Smith Orogbo about Texas, strength and conditioning and nutrition. Because he's a guy that understands. I was 6'4", 205 pounds at the start of last year. I didn't call him. And he's up to 6'4", 218 now. But Zena said I was 235 days when I reported to Texas, 235 pounds when I reported to Texas. He's up to 260 now, Rod. Zena's already up to 260.
Wow.
So that really impressed Smith Orogbo. Question here from Casey Herschap. If Texas misses out on DL, will they go after Johnny Bowens? I'd be surprised on Bowens. I think Bowens.
There's some work there.
Academically. Yeah. He's got to make some academic strides to be able to go to, I think, another school. I mean, we'll see what happens there, but he's got a little work to do. Longhorn Frenzy 1, is Oregon a real threat in the Moore recruitment? You know what I say about this? You know, if you're making visits in the NIL day and age, people are a threat. But I think Texas is working from a really good spot right now on DeCorian Moore. And as somebody said, Grandma ain't having it.
Jerry, I want to get your thoughts on this comment here from Stephen Houston. Lance Jackson looks like he was made in a lab. Yeah, no kidding. I was shocked by that photo Jerry put out of him and Steve Sarkisian Friday afternoon when he first got to DKR, got to see the morning workouts as well. But he told me on the phone this afternoon, he's at 6'6", 270, and he's looking to slim down a little bit. Said he wants to get down to about 255 to 260. Two, 3 months leading up to his senior season. But my goodness, he looked mighty impressive. And I got word from a couple folks inside of Moncrief and DKR this weekend that he's as physically impressive a prospect of anybody that was on campus this weekend. And another guy that was singled out was Nick Brooks, obviously, who we saw walking around Friday afternoon from the airport. Jerry, 6'7", all every bit of 355, 360. That is a definition of the big human.
Hey, Matthew, if could you look up CJ, Matthew, our producer, could you look up CJ's tweet he had of Nick Brooks walking through the airport? If we could bring that up, that'd be awesome. Rod hasn't seen this. So, Rod, this is what I've said about this, about Nick Brooks. Here, I think we're about to bring this up. If we had said, all right, Nick, stop, we're going to put you up against the wall here, and we're going to height you, that would have been 6'7" without shoes on and 355, 360.
Damn. Look at that dude. That's that. He looks like a.
That's a specimen.
Like somebody for Game of Thrones. Yes. Like that is, and it, and man, and you say how much he weigh? 363.
Yeah, he's 6'7", 355, 360.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah. He's got a little bit of a different frame, but very as far as the build goes, but similar to Cam Williams at that same age. Now Cam was more of a surefire tackle. We'll see on Nick Brooks. By the way, on Nick Brooks, I think Texas and Georgia are going to duking this thing out. I think Texas had a great visit. I mean, look, we didn't hear about any bad visits this weekend, right? And I know somebody has a question that we're going to bring up on that in a second. But all we've heard is very positive. And we tell you, I mean, y'all know I tell you, CJ would tell you if we heard anything from negative visit perspective. We have not. We think Sarkisian, these guys have this down. They had great visits with all these kids. I think Nick Brooks had a great visit to Georgia. But I'm telling you, Texas is right there. They're right there in the fight for Nick Brooks of Georgia out of Cedar Rapids. He went visited USC last weekend. Unless Iowa convinces him to take a visit, he may be done with visits. We'll see, which means a decision could come sooner rather than later for Nick Brooks. This is actually kind of funny, leads into it. Jordan, on the interview with Sloan, BJ, and Roy, they all said they had a terrible visit. Do you guys have any stories from horrible visits and why they were so bad? Okay, so what Jordan's talking about here is, Rod, you'll see it when you watch it, is Sloan and Roy went to A&M the same weekend, and something went wrong. They said it was a terrible visit. Oh, and Roy was like, yeah, I was done after that. I was done with the process after that visit experience.
Okay.
Did you ever have a bad visit, though?
I did not have a bad visit, man. My visits were awesome. They were great. I literally did. I had awesome. Like, it really made it tough for me. But once it was, you know, once I decided to stay in the state, then it was easy between Texas A&M. And I had a better visit with Texas than I did at A&M just because I'm a city boy.
Yeah.
I'm a city boy. I always been in the city. I was born in H-Town. So I just felt comfortable in Austin. Austin wasn't as big as it is now. But it was still more of a city. And, you know, I mean, my family is from the country. My mom and dad are from Louisiana. So I got a lot of families from the country. So it was kind of one of those things where I was like, actually, I'm just a little bit more comfortable in Austin than I am at A&M. And I like Mac Brown. I loved me some Mac. Mac was great. I loved RC. RC was great. But it was something about a young, brash, cocky Mac Brown. He was calling his shot back then. He knew that he was going to turn things around. It's a matter of time. But he was calling this shot with the young recruits. He was telling us how he was going to get Nike in there, how they was going to fill in the stadium, you know what I mean? And, you know, but I'm just saying, I had a lot of fun in Austin, and I like the culture, 6th Street, and, you know, I just like the culture of the 40 Acres more than I did Aggie Land, and I'm glad I made that decision. It just fit me better.
One of the funny things about that interview was when Roy said, Matt, one part of Mac's pitch was they were going to play at Hawaii. Didn't they change it for Louisiana Monroe in Austin?
Yeah, see, Mac did. That wasn't part of the pitch he gave us, a Hawaii thing. And I don't want to play Hawaii anyway. I'm good. I actually had a friend back the day from when I played in high school that went to Hawaii. And I remember back in the day, you couldn't. Is it still where you can't even take a visit to Hawaii unless you commit? Is that still a thing?
Think so. I don't
back
think
in
so.
The day that was I remember that was things like you couldn't just be like, hey, I'm taking a visit to Hawaii, otherwise everybody will be visiting Hawaii,
right?
So I want to say that's what it used to be, but I could be wrong about that.
All right, RW, has Alex January surpassed Sadir? I would say yes, CJ. I would say yes right now as far as the summer workouts go, if that means anything.
Yeah, I received word a few weeks ago that it was Sadir came in maybe a little bit bigger than what we anticipated. I thought he put in good work in that month of May when he was back up in New Jersey, comes back down to Austin, and I just don't think he's where the staff and the nutrition and strength group want him to be at right now. Resorted back to some habits that got him ballooned up a little bit more. So again, it's just battling to get to that playing weight for Sadir. Right now, you want him at 355, 350, maybe even a little south of that. He got close to that number, Jerry, before he got back to campus. So we'll see if he's able to maybe use these next 2 months before the pads come on officially to return back to that number. You just don't want to see that weight fluctuating as often as it has been.
Can I throw this out there too?
Yeah.
It's interesting because obviously they want him at a lighter weight because they think he'll play better there, move better. Think about Tavondre Sweat and how heavy Tavondre Sweat was. It's all about how you carry it and how you move with that weight. I mean, there were rumors that Tavondre Sweat was playing like close to 370. You know what I mean? Right? Like he was playing at a big weight. Like he was huge. And I think about how you carry it. Like Tavondre Sweat, like now, I mean, I don't know what he measured in recently when, you know, he got to, I know he at the combine and at the pro day, pretty much he was the same weight.
366,
367.
Yeah.
And some people, and that was, it was a rumor that he was playing like upwards of 370, like over 370. But looking at him and watching him play, we all agree you wouldn't have known. He wasn't too heavy. He didn't seem too heavy. He didn't play too. So I think it's about how you carry it as well. Yeah. Now that I think NFL, they definitely like he's the biggest D tackle right now in the league. So they definitely want him to lose a little bit of weight. But I think the big issue with Sadir is that he doesn't play well at that weight.
I think that's the question, Rod, is when these bodies start really maturing and you see the weight starting to be added, is it weight that's being redistributed from an already big human, or are you taking a smaller guy like Tavondre Sweat was when he was a junior and senior in high school, and then just adding that weight on top of a guy that can already move that well? With Sadir, I'm not sure he's of that same mold that we saw from Tavondre Sweat, who from, I believe, the beginning of his senior year to when he got drafted, added almost 90 or 100 pounds to his frame. Whereas Sadir, I mean, coming into college, a little bit heavier or much heavier than what we saw with, Tavondre Sweat at that time.
Yeah.
All right. Question here, which is interesting to me. Justin Rosendahl, we're going to get as many questions as we can tonight, guys. We're going to be here a little while. We've been on live for 37 minutes. We're going to go for at least another 30, 35 minutes for you guys tonight. There's a lot going on. Justin Rosendahl, with NIL and paying players, are there still top recruits who go to school for the traditions and love for the school? It's a great question. And I'd say the answer is yes, but not as many. Let's be real.
Yep.
Not as many.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. Because I think these days it's in addition to the NIL. It's like, no, that's just, can you meet whatever my NIL desires are, or whatever I believe my value is as a player? And then in addition to that, you have the tradition of love for that particular university if they have connections to it or something like that. I think where it really plays a role is like legacies. You get legacies like somebody who played in the family or somebody who's connected, for, you know, family-wise. I think that's when they probably will make a decision based on tradition, based on, you know, legacy and all that stuff rather than NIL being first. But if they don't really have that connection or then grow up, like if you're like a Westlake kid and you grew up in the shadow of Texas and you always went to games and your mom and dad, you know, I mean, that boom, you might want to do it too. So I think it's like proximity if you're really close to it and in the shadow of it, or if you have that familial connection to it somehow, or even like, you know, obviously, you know, second generation of some type of fan or Longhorn fan, that would help. I think you got to have a connection somehow. Not business family, but even if your family were just big fans of the University of Texas, you got to understand traditions and stuff for it. But unless you have that, they're just a regular recruit. I don't think you get impressed by traditions and pageantry anymore like that.
You know, the one thing that I think, look, there's some, I've always said there's 20% of kids that are going to go to school X come hell or high water. That's where they've always wanted to go. It doesn't matter. They want to be a Texas Longhorn, a Texas A&M Aggie, Georgia Bulldog, whatever, what have you. But you know what the big tradition is now? Who's going to the NFL?
Yep.
That's the new tradition. Look how many recruitments Nick Saban won because of the belief from kids. Not just a belief, but it was a reality that if you come there and put in your work, Nick's going to maximize you. You're going to go on to the NFL because he had more draft picks than anybody. To me, the biggest thing that can overcome tradition is if that school that has tradition isn't putting guys in the NFL. And now Texas has that back. And it'll be amazing to watch because I think Texas may have as many or more guys drafted next year if guys have good, healthy seasons and can come out early like they want to. And you want those guys to come out early. I think that's going to be something to watch because, you know, Rod, the goal of all you guys is still make it to the NBA, make it to the NFL, make it to MLB, whatever it is, your sport. How do I make it to be a professional athlete and live out my dream? And that's not a negative on the colleges. That's actually a benefit to the colleges if you're developing talent.
Yep. Yeah, a lot has changed. That's never changed. Every young man or woman now playing college sports, they want to go pro. They would love to play that sport until they can, you know, be a pro and they can retire playing that sport. I mean, that's ultimately the goal, I think, for 99% of college athletes.
Yep. All right, KD, 35, I am the best. Thank you for the super chat. Big visit weekend's coming. Again, Friday through Sunday, some midweeks. Of the guys coming in who are most important to make moves with in your mind, that includes the midweek visitors. He has Zion Williams and Dorian Brew. CJ, I'll let you answer first, and I'll get to a couple as well. Coming in this next weekend in the midweeks, three midweek visitors. I'll lay those out. Dejon Lee, the four-star corner out of Mission Hills, Southern California. Dorian Brew, the four-star corner out of Conroe. And Nathan Tillman, the on Texas football, four-star safety out of Mansfield Timberview. You're saying, why you didn't have him a four-star? Well, maybe we're ahead of the game. I put him as anybody that runs 185, weighs 185 and runs 10-7 and plays the safety position. You're a four-star recruit if you watch the tape and the tape checks out. That's just the reality of it. So those three guys, defensive backs coming in midweek. CJ, who do you like maybe either there the weekend that Texas needs to make a move with?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting that there's three defensive backs coming in the midweek. Again, that's kind of a spot right now where you're starting to see maybe a little bit more of a clearer picture. I think Texas made a big jump this weekend in the recruitment of Tristan Castro out of California as well. So we'll see as well as what's going on in the defensive backs. Aiden Anning, Cade Phillips, Auburn commit, Devin Williams are all slated to come in the next weekend. So there's six guys in the defensive backfield that are coming in over the next week or so. If I had to pick a guy to keep a really close eye on, obviously Cade Phillips is a guy that we've talked about a few times. Nathan Tillman coming in for Mansfield Timberview, Jerry, is a guy who's splitting TCU and Baylor visits with the Texas midweek as well. He was offered June 1st. So that's a quick turnaround for a guy who's already taken several official visits. Obviously, SMU and Utah were a pair that he has already taken this summer. But I'm looking also at Aiden Anning out of Louisiana. Yeah. Outside of the defensive backs, I think you're going to be looking at wide receiver, and I think linebacker is going to be very important as well. Madden Faramo coming in alongside Elijah Barnes, a guy who's been a very vocal recruiter for this Texas 2025 class, getting him to be kind of that extra recruiting piece and coach in the class, if you will. It has been very important in the recruitment of Riley Pettijohn, and it will be the case as well with Manfred Ramo coming in. But look at Khalik Lockett, Jamie French. Those are going to be two big-time guys coming on the offensive side of the ball.
Jamie French was mine because Texas has been in a good spot. Now he's been through the visit process a little bit more, right? LSU, Tennessee, Miami. So he's got Texas. This is the last visit. He's going to make a decision in late August. This is one where Texas had a little momentum there. When I was through the school, Mandarin High in mid-May, then carried on through the end of May, Texas has some momentum with Jamie French. They've continued to have great conversations. So maybe not as much the guys Texas needs to make a move with, but keep your momentum with, because, you know, you've heard three pitches in a row, boom, LSU, Tennessee, Miami. So now Texas gets him back on campus and gets him on campus last, by the way. So I think that'll be a big one as well. Justin Yarbrough has a super chat here. Oh, boy, here we go. Thank you for the super chat. We all know a few players that wanted to go to Texas that did out of Jameis Winston, Andrew Luck, Kyler Murray. Who would have had the most success? Great job, weekend, fellas. That is a great question, guys.
Does it depend on the time of the – we got to go back and look at the years and what type of cast they would have had around them too.
Well, yeah. You got to throw Jameis Winston out. We weren't close enough to the coast for the crab legs, right? So he's out. But it comes down to Andrew Luck and Kyler Murray. So it's interesting. Andrew Luck, obviously, both these guys – top picks. Kyler Murray's the only guy that's ever been drafted top 10 in two sports, by the way, overall. I think Kyler was an obvious one because he would have meant a lot to a turnaround of a program, Rob, because he was so freaking athletic.
Yeah.
He could take a team that was the 5-7 fired Charlie team and take you to 8 or 9 wins off his talent.
Yep.
He's that guy saves jobs. Now, Pete, the argument is, hey, what would Texas have looked like with Andrew Luck? They'd have gone from Vince Young to Colt McCoy to Andrew Luck. Well, we might still be talking about Mack Brown as the head coach now.
Yeah.
If he had gone from Vince, Colt, Andrew Luck, JT Barrett, now he may still be the coach at Texas right now. Or he might just be getting ready to retire.
Yeah, Jared, to me, it's kind of upsetting. I know Texas fans probably won't agree with this, but to only get 1 year of college for Kyler Murray is, I feel like we were robbed a little bit, right? I mean, he made the most of it winning a Heisman, obviously. But at that time, you know, I grew up in Allen. I was a year younger than Kyler at the time. So anytime you saw Allen play in person, I mean, it was a spectacle. It was an event when he stepped on the field. But man, I don't think anybody in that area was surprised by the success that he had at Oklahoma. As you mentioned, I mean, he's just one of the freakiest athletes I've ever seen in my entire life. That's a guy I would have loved to have seen had multiple years, especially perhaps in the burnt orange. I remember back when he was tweeting out the jerseys, a week or two before signing day, trying to put everybody in a frenzy. But my goodness, that was a talented kid.
Yeah. All right, Eric Goldsmith has a super chat here for you, Rod Babers. Thank you, Eric Goldsmith. Rod, barring injuries, which three corners get the most starts this coming season? Weigh in, Jerry and CJ. Let's get the crystal ball going here.
Oh, what corners will get the most? Well, obviously, Malik Muhammad is at the top of that list. I mean, if you include Jadae Barron's and nickel, I guess you could get Jadae Barron's in there if you want to. But, I mean, the truth is when they go 40 personnel, which they may a couple of times this year, they should put Jadae Barron out at corner and don't take him off the field, which they did a few times last year. But then, you know what, man, Gavin Holmes is going to get the advantage early on in the competition with Javion Coates because he knows the system and he knows the personnel. He understands, you know, where he's supposed to be, alignment, assignment. So early on, like, it's hard to say that, you know, Javion Coates is going to end up taking that spot. He's not going to take it early. If he's going to take it, it'll be mid-season later on in the season because he's got to prove himself in training camp first, and he's earned the trust of the coaches because he's probably, as Bobby mentioned, doing more just install now. Earn the trust of the coaches during training camp, and then you got to earn it also in the game situation, and that'll be in the rotations early. So, that'll be your top three corners, but it'll be Malik. Malik Muhammad's not coming off the field, really. I know they want to rotate him, but to me, I'd rotate him less. I'd rotate the other guys more. I'd rotate him less. I don't think he needs to rotate as much as the other guys because you're trying to see which one of those other corners can, you know, kind of be consistent, right? Develop a baseline of consistency. And I think, you know, right next to that, Javion Cole to me is a better off corner. I think Gavin Holmes, I don't know. This is the thing, I don't know if Javion Cole is better at playing press. I think he might be better playing off than Gavin Holmes, but is he better playing press? Because I think they want to play a little bit more press too. And if Gavin Holmes can prove he's a better press corner, then in certain situations, they're going to want Gavin Holmes out there. A certain game plans, matchup-wise, they may want him out there. So I think a lot of his own Javion Cole being able to prove that not only can he play, he's capable of playing off coverage, whether it be zone or man. But if he can come up and play press, he's also capable of doing that. He's a little guy like me. So, you know, Gavin Holmes, bigger corner, a little bit longer. If Javion Cole is going to be that guy, he's got to be more of a technician at the line of scrimmage. So to me, that's the big question. But, I mean, those are, to me, I think the rotation comes with those other two guys over there.
Early. Thomas Quinn, Jerry, one of the two silents that may go live potentially this week. I'll say this. Caleb Chester was a commitment this time a week ago. Took about 48 hours, right? Canceled visits, made his commitment to Texas. The thing to watch is who cancels visits to me coming up here. We'll see. This is the last visit weekend. I think a lot of kids have early July pegged for announcements. Smith Arogbo's July 1st. I think we have Zion Williams is July 4th. We had Tanook Hines told me early July. Kelshon Johnson, if he doesn't go to USC, could happen anytime soon. But a lot of these guys have the first week in July. I think there could be some that move up in the later June. But if not early July, I think you're going to see a rush of commitments come of Texas targets. And that could be some to Texas, some not to Texas. Texas isn't going to get everybody. All right, Sean has a super chat here. $5. Thank you very much, Sean, for that. Besides Michigan, Oklahoma, Georgia, and A&M, what game should give us Longhorn faithful should we have circled on our calendar for the upcoming season? I think it's a great question. What do you guys got? I mean, I think Florida, we're beating up Florida because of the schedule, but I think they're after those four teams, they're still pretty talented.
It's got to be
football team.
Florida's definitely the program with the most notoriety of this bunch outside of the top four as well. I mean, they kind of encapsulate the SEC and what this conference has meant to the college football world. Of course, they basically kick-started the run of SEC dominance in 07, 08. So that's really encouraging for me to see where Texas stacks up in terms of broad picture SEC as well. Can't not mention Arkansas. I mean, that's a big one too. That rivalry coming back is one that Texas fans are going to be very excited about, as are Arkansas fans. We talked about that at length over the last few weeks, but that game's going to mean a lot to the folks up in Fayetteville and Arkansas. But I'm looking forward to that one. I'm looking forward to Florida. I think that'll be a fun game.
I like that.
Yeah, I've got Florida for sure on that, because I think they're probably – they're a talented team that's got a brutal schedule. Right now, who knows what type of shape Florida's in, because that's game nine. So who knows where Florida's at mentally, where Billy Napier's at. Is it Gainesville or is it Austin or is he on vacation? I just don't know. Better beat Miami to start the year. I better not lose to Miami and A&M at home, or he will not be in Austin. Better dang sure not lose to UCF. So they have a brutal schedule, but from a talent standpoint, after the four you mentioned, Florida is obviously the most talented team of that group. Kentucky is going to play. They're going to try to run it right at you. They have a D tackle that may be a first round or a middle linebacker that's a really good player. They have two really good receivers. So where Texas secondary's at that point in time, it could be a factor because Barry Brown's a stud, but I think it's Florida. All right, this one is for you, Rod. W.J. Jones, Rod B., how influential were your parents in you choosing Texas?
It's a good question. Mom, after mom met Mac Brown, after his visit at our home, he sat on my mama's couch, drank her sweet tea. Mama was sold, because Mac had essentially promised my mom that I would graduate. He said, I ain't gonna say what Mac said, but it was very personal. Like, hey, he will graduate. I can promise you, he made all types of promises on people they shouldn't have made that I was going to graduate. And by the way, Mac did fulfill his promise. I'll tell you that. He did. It was much later than we anticipated. It was after I was done in the NFL, but he fulfilled the promise. And that's really all mama. So mama was on the education. She loved the University of Texas in terms of the academics there. But she loved Mac. Mac could win over any mom. Mac is unbelievable. So she was so, and my dad was big on DBU. My dad, Love Your Blue family for the Oilers days. So when you talk about Earl Campbell, we loved Earl Campbell multiple times now, obviously, burnt orange, but we loved him first as a Love Your Blue guy. And my dad loved Earl Campbell, loved University, but he's big on DBU back in the day, Johnny Johnson and Jerry Gray and that group. And my dad is actually the first one who was like, oh man, you don't know about the DBs from Texas? And I was like, no, because I was thinking about Florida State DBs, right? I'm thinking about Florida. I'm thinking about Terrell Buckley and Deion Sanders and those. I was thinking about Deion. Remember Deion Figures at Colorado? Loved me some Deion Figures. Man, he was cold. So I was watching DBs around the country, and I was like, oh, man, I was really, I was picking some of these schools because based on their recent DB history. And my dad was like, oh, man, no, you need to do research on Texas.
He turned back the clock to the 80s, didn't he? The early 80s. Yeah,
he went all the way back. And then even then he's like, oh, but even recently they've had some really good DBs out there. And he went to Brian Westbrook and those guys. Yeah. And that's when I started considering. I was like, okay, make sure I got to consider Texas as DBU like they were back in the day. And then I started doing research, and Quentin Jammer was already on campus. I was a big fan of Joe Walker at the time. Joe Walker was at North Shore, but I idolized Joe Walker. Joe Walker had a, he used to go to the track meet with an afro, tatted up.
Yes.
He was clean. Joe Walker was clean. Joe Walker had a, I don't know if y'all know who Joe Walker is, you probably don't know, but he had a rep back then. And Joe Walker, like, I was a young DB. He was like the best DB in H-Town when Joe Walker was coming out. So I wanted to be kind of like Joe Walker. Joe Walker went to Texas, you know, the Quentin Jammer from the, so I started doing my research after my dad was like, nah, man, you got to do more research on Texas. Texas has some of the best DBs of all time. And I did. And then ironically, Coach Akina came in and gave us a history class. Like, as soon as he came in, he was like, yeah, this is a DBU. We're going to make a DBU again. And he, like, put on, like, it was like a history class and put on some film with some old DBs back. He was like, this is where we're going to come. We're going to become the best. And then he did. He turned, I mean, we really did. We became the best DBU in the country during that time period. So, yeah, that's kind of where it was. Mom had her own agenda and Dad had his own agenda.
So, by the way, for the Texas fans that don't know who Joe Walker was an outstanding defensive back safety coming out of North Shore. He had shoulder issues that really kind of lingered. Yep. He had a couple of shoulder surgeries that really kind of derailed what I think he could have been long term. He had a couple of shoulder issues that really derailed him. All right, John Haney. Well, Texas have at least 18 commits by July 1st. I think that's a stretch, CJ. That's running the table in about 2 weeks. I think maybe get more into after July 4th, 5th, 7th into that area, and I think we may be closer to 18. I could be wrong. The kids have to move off some timelines.
Jerry, while we're talking about the next couple of weeks, we've mentioned a few guys that have made decision dates. Dijon Lee, June 28th. Smith Robo, July 1st. It'll be Marco Jones the day after July 2nd. And then Zion Williams, June 4th. Of course, we expect a number more of these guys to make early July decisions or at least into or before August as well. But those are the guys coming up that first week of July, last week of June area that we're keeping an eye on right now.
Yeah, Kelshawn Johnson, I could see something. Nick Brooks, if he doesn't visit Iowa this weekend, you could see. John Mills, done with the official visit process. How long does that go on? So I think there's some guys here. Again, what we're watching for now is who does not make these next official visits this weekend. If these visits actually get canceled, Kelshawn says, nah, not going to USC. Nick Brooks says, nah, not going to Iowa. John Mills, we know, is done. If anybody else starts canceling that last week official visits, because what's interesting is when you talk to the parents, they're like, man, this is great for our son. It's a once-in-a-lifetime experience, but it's exhausting to make 4 or 5 official visits in a row. I mean, that's an exhausting deal. Parents have jobs. You have other kids. You have a lot going on. And, you know, that's a tiring process these families go through. So just something to keep in mind there. All right, so Sean has another super chat. Thank you very much. All you guys for supporting On Texas Football. We're over 51,000. Wow. I mean, I was looking – at Texas OU weekend last year, UT boy, Terry Black's Barbecue, where I met UT boy for the first time, one of our faves, 23,700 followers. So now over 51,000 since October. So thanks all support. Sean, can both Quinn win the Heisman and Arch Manning get valuable reps to get him ready for QB1 next season? I think the answer is yes, but y'all roll with that one.
Oh, that's good. So basically, we'll get some blowouts.
Going to have to be the case.
Yeah, I feel a little cocky and arrogant saying that first year in the SEC that you're going to be blowing teams out. But, hey, you know what I mean? That's kind of the only way that would happen. And I'll throw this out there, though, because we've talked about that old Bobby Bowden quote that – and I believe, CJ, you brought it up a couple of times, too, where
– lose close, win big.
And last year was the win close year. Right, that was it. So, but can they win big in the SEC? I don't want to be that arrogant and cocky, but they haven't had that kind of season where they are winning by large margins, guys out of the game by middle of the third quarter. And we've had some of those, but not many. And I don't know. Like I said, I'm a bit hesitant to be that cocky in the SEC. I think that's gonna win 10 games, 11 games. I don't necessarily think they're gonna be just blowing out all the SEC. They could though. They could.
I think there's 5 games that you could circle right now and say, all right, I could certainly see and expect to see Arch Manning coming into this game at some point based off of how they stack up on paper. Obviously, Colorado State, UTSA, UL Monroe, the 3 non-conference games early in the season, aside from Michigan, obviously, those are the ones I think that you're expecting to see Arch Manning at some point. You play Vanderbilt. I know it's on the road, but there's still that difference in talent between what Vanderbilt currently has and what Texas has compiled over the last few cycles. And I'm really interested to see early on what Mississippi State can do with their first non-conference games coming in. That's where Texas starts their SEC play. Brand new tenure, with the brand new head coach, Jeff Lebby. They have a lot of transfers on that roster right now. Will they be able to play SEC caliber football immediately? I think that'll be interesting.
I thought CJ was going to get the Texas fan base fired up and predict Arkansas second half for Arch Manning. But we'll let him do that a little later. All right, Longhorn Frenzy has another super chat. This is a great question, by the way. How big of a part do current Longhorn players' families play in the recruiting process of kids Texas is trying to get committed? Great question by Longhorn Frenzy. And I think it's more than we talk about and more than it's given credit to in the process. And let's look at it this way. And by the way, that's a great photo of Bobby Burton. Let's look at it this way. Think about all the recruitments in DFW on I-20 and DFW in general. Think about what we know about that. Manny Muhammad, Jonte Cook, Colin Simmons, Jordan Johnson Rebel, DeCorian Moore, they all played youth ball together on some level.
That's crazy.
These families have known each other for years in some cases. Wow. And crazy. The Colemans. So, like, the crew's a crazy thing. Like, what happens in recruiting is so funny. The Colemans, I believe their father went to Dallas Samuel. And I believe on a visit, Elijah Barnes' father realized, oh, he went to Dallas Samuel too. Oh, we went to Dallas Samuel the same time, maybe. Wow. And there was a third father of a recruit that also went to Dallas Samuel. So it's just kind of crazy how all this stuff comes together. But I will say this. I think it goes on more than you think. Only if Rod Babers and CJ, the coaching staff, is confident, and I don't want to overuse the term, in the culture you have in your program. Because when you say culture in a program, you mean everybody talks about players. But that also carries over to your families. Mm. Everybody being on the same page, right? You only want your 2025 recruits' parents to talk to your 24 or 23 recruits' parents if you know what you have going on from a culture standpoint. Yep. Is resonating in the building and outside the building in conversations.
Well said.
I think that's a great point. We talk about recruits recruiting other recruits. Families do the same thing. I mean, the Jordan Johnson Rubel played with just about anybody that went Division I in the DFW area in the 2024 cycle. You talk about anybody, basically. Xavier Filsomi was in that conversation as well. Corian Gibson, he was close with him, who ended up at Clemson. It felt like that was a connection that just branched out through almost every school district in all of DFW. At some point, there was a connection there, even after playing at IMG Academy for a year. So that's, I mean, it's really important. And I think you're right, Jerry. I don't think it's one of those things that you hear about all that much, but it certainly happens. And when things are going right, it can really help or it can really hurt.
That's good stuff.
All right, we got a couple more super chats. We're going to get to your questions. We still got a ways to go. I want to take a second again to thank our sponsor, Joe Brown. Joe is a proud U.S. Navy veteran and is committed to serving his fellow vets with no down payment VA loans up to $2 million. Southside Bank has been based in Texas for over 60 years, but can also do mortgage loans in most other states. Southside Bank has a new type of construction loan that allows a simple modification if rates are lower after your new home is built, which saves you the cost of refinancing. If you're self-employed, you may know that getting a mortgage can be more challenging than ever. That's why Joe's experience in lending to business owners can make the process much, much smoother. Again, thank you to Joe Brown, veteran mortgage pro, 512-663-4744. Hey, look, if Bobby Burton entrusted him to handle his first mortgage, you know the answer. Call Joe Brown. All right, Eric Goldsmith, I don't know what this – what is this?
Costa Rica.
1,000.
Whoa!
From UT Boy. There you go.
Wow.
obviously. Juan Garza, thank you for the super chat. Jerry, do you think the Brockmeyers regret the decision they didn't commit to Texas? Thoughts, guys? Look, I think at the time, you never know what the future holds. But when you're at a Texas camp, and Tom Herman looks to James Brockmeyer and says, hey, we'll take you as a walk-on. And Kirk Ferentz calls you on the way home and offers you a scholarship. And then Clemson, and then Alabama, and all these people offer you a scholarship. Then Texas tries to come back around and say, oh, no, maybe we're wrong. And it don't work that way. So do I think they regret the decision at the time of the recruitment? Had you known Sark and Kyle Flood were headed to Texas, I think the outcome's different. But at the time, you didn't know that. All you knew is Tom Herman flubbed up the recruitment. Bottom line. So not taking away from what his daughter was tweeting the other day. But bottom line, they offered James Brockmeyer a walk-on when he was on campus. He got in the car and was on the way home. And Kirk Ferentz, who's evaluated offensive lineman pretty well, said, full scholarship, center, Iowa Hawkeyes. That's not a good look for Texas at the time, Rod. That'll lose you recruitment.
I think we'd all agree that Tom Herman made some miscalculations while he was here. A few of those on campus. That's a legacy too, right? And you guys are just talking about, you know, families talking to families. That's literally something that blew up on Tom Herman. Like when he got there, sorry, we're not rehashing this, but literally remember he told everybody, don't talk to the media. Then the parents got together and talked to the media. Like, so, I mean, he didn't understand kind of what you just broke down, Jerry, about how powerful it is to have that that message resonate to the families and act as almost a reference for the program and the culture of it.
Yeah.
I don't want to pile on too much, but we've had some questions earlier, Jerry, about bad visits. I'll say that there's been a more calculated, detailed approach to what we're seeing with this tenured, with this staff than what we saw under the previous regime. Yeah.
Somebody I'm not going to pull up was like, Herman was spot on with those evaluations, only if you can predict injury. Talent-wise, no. He was wrong. I mean, it was wrong. Flat-out wrong. Kirk Ferentz, Alabama, Clemson, everybody offers James Brockmeyer. You offer him as a walk-on. That doesn't mean you're right on the evaluation. And Tommy Brockmeyer's career was lost to injury. So Tommy Brockmeyer is a very talented guy, but injuries got him. That's part of the game. So I don't think Adam Lane's got something for you, CJ. Straighten your Earl Campbell picture.
Oh, yeah. Hey, that's right. You're right. Good job.
I hope that's right.
Hey.
I got to get my level out.
Hey, Earl was on a tilt there for a minute.
He's hanging on by a thread. I'm not the handyman I used to be.
All right, so we're up to almost 5,000 people on this watching right now. And thank you to everybody for continued support. All right, CJ, let's kind of reset recruiting weekend. So because that's what people they're all about this recruiting weekend. The Corian Moore had it 65% before the weekend. Nothing's changed. Maybe goes up. Grandma thinks it should go up. We'll see. I think at Edge, Smith and Rogbo said July 1st is when he's announcing a decision. I think he had a great visit to Texas. Obviously, his parents didn't make the trip. His father's been on campus before in April. It'll be Texas. He goes to Oklahoma this weekend or Texas Tech. Washington's the 4th. Based on what I know, that's too far. So we'll see what happens there. I think Smith and Rogbo really likes likes the nutrition and strength and conditioning part of the Texas development. He really mentioned that on the phone today. Wide receivers, we talked about Kelshon Johnson. When I talked to Kelshon, I'm not sure if he's going to make that official visit to USC, which means probably not. Maybe USC talks him into it. But this is going to be an Ann Arbor, Texas decision for Kelshon. And if he cancels that USC visit, we'll see how long that recruitment is in play or when he makes a decision on the offensive line, guys. Look, I think John Mills, I think Nick Brooks, I think Lamont Rogers, I think they all had great visits to Texas. Lamont Rogers came down with his uncle. The dad lives in Vicksburg, Mississippi. I think A&M did a good job getting his father on campus last week. The mom could not make it in, had a family commitment. Also, she didn't make the A&M trip last weekend, even though it was reported she did. Maybe she went down there and had to leave for a family issue that they've kind of been dealing with there. Defensive line, I think Texas is in the game for Kevin Wynn. Hard one to predict. He's He's only been to Texas once now. I thought they did a great job with the culinary part, which is his interest. He wants to, when hopefully he's done playing in the NFL, he wants to be a chef. He wants to own his restaurant. That's one of his ultimate goals in his life. I think Texas did a good job showing him the possibilities there for networking in the city of Austin. I think Texas did a very good job with Brandon Brown. The interesting thing with Brandon Brown, we haven't had as many Brandon Brown questions as we thought. I think the interesting thing with Brandon Brown is, could we be in a situation where he actually likes Texas and a family member likes LSU more? Because Bo believed in Brandon the younger when he was a little younger, maybe a year ago when some other colleges were questioning his height. We'll see. I think Brandon had a great visit to Texas, though. So I think Texas did a good job there. We talked about Edge, Marco Jones, CJ. What you got on Marco Jones? And then we'll move the linebacker and DB.
Yeah, he had a great time. Baron Sorrell, Zena Umeozulu were guys that were in his camp this weekend. Listen, I think Marco Jones is a really talented guy. Where he fits in this defensive front is – hold on, Jerry, you're muted. You better say that one again because I see the expression coming.
Bigger in person than we thought he was going to be, by the way.
Yeah. Well, in his high school tape, he plays middle linebacker, and Texas kind of pitched that, say, hey, we could use you as an off-ball guy while still using your pass rush ability to come off the edge at times. So it's kind of that hybrid, you know, kind of flex linebacker edge rusher as well. He loves Texas. He mentioned the campus, the city, everything that was kind of around the university outside of going to school, outside of being a player, that caught his attention as well. Baseball was brought up for him, whether or not that's a deal breaker or not. He says it's more of a bonus for him and his recruitment as well. He's actually going to Irvine tomorrow for a perfect game tournament. He and Lance Jackson, the two baseball players in this class. So we'll see if they team up at the next level. Two edge rushers right there, bringing some heat off the mound, that's for sure. But Texas made great strides for Marco Jones, as they did for Tristan Castro, Jerry. That's going to be a Texas and USC battle. He's going to go to USC next week, and then he's going to sit back, reevaluate everything between the two schools, and come up with a final decision there. So Texas, again, those West Coast connections, both of those guys mentioned how important it was for Texas to have those Cali ties, whether it be Chris Jackson, Johnny Nansen, Sarkisian, Jeff Banks. There's a number of guys out there that they can relate to, and it's certainly helping their cause now.
Yeah, Riley Pettijohn, I think, is going to be interesting. Scheduled to visit A&M next weekend. A&M is going to – they are making as big a run as you can at Riley Pettijohn, knowing that Texas has Elijah Barnes in the boat. Last thing A&M wants is both of the top stud linebackers in Texas going the way of Texas. So – we'll see. That's a big visit next week in the A&M.
Jerry, I spoke to someone about Riley Pettijohn and A&M earlier before we got on the live started up. They basically said it's going to have to take a perfect visit for A&M to feel like they're confident in their ability to pull him away from Texas's grasp. That should give you an idea of where things sit for Texas and Pettijohn, as well as how dire of a situation it might be this weekend for A&M with him on campus.
No doubt about it. I mean, that's why A&M is going to throw the kitchen sink at it this weekend. They really don't have a choice. They don't want both of those guys going to Texas, obviously. So we'll see Jonathan Cunningham waiting to talk to him. I heard he had a very good visit. Obviously, was hosted by Ty Anthony Smith, which is interesting. Two guys that have frames that need some time to develop. So that's probably a lot of that discussion there was Ty Anthony Smith came in about 195. What is he up to, about 210 now? Apparently, so 207, 210, so two kind of similar frame guys. That'll be interesting. So we got a couple other super chats here. Neil on Wheels, thank you very much for the super chat. After DK Moore, Lockett, French, Johnson, who is left under the radar, has star potential, and could be good fits in the 25 class? If you're talking about wide receiver specifically, I mean, I think that's where the class is coming from right now, guys. I mean, look, when Texas tells Marcus Harris they don't really have a spot, that's a modern day guy that's visiting some of the best programs in the country.
Was that Oklahoma?
So I think it'll be interesting. I think the one guy to keep a watch for, depending on how this wide receiver position plays out, is in the fall, Dallas Wilson at Tampa Tech. who I think is a five-star level guy, one of the very best receivers in the country, who's scheduled to come in for an unofficial visit a couple weeks ago, canceled that the morning of. Texas was bummed. They were hoping to get him on campus, but just to see if they could get in the game with him. He's out of Tampa Tech. Jeff Banks went by the school in May. If that recruitment, even though he's committed to Oregon, he was at Florida this week and goes to Oregon next weekend, he's scheduled to visit FSU in November for the Florida State rivalry game. If that continues and Texas has a spot, if maybe they don't run domino here at wide receiver like we all think, maybe that's one to watch. Then Tanook Hines, CJ. Yeah, that's we both have seen Tanook Hines in person. Tanook Hines, you just 6'1", 6 foot and a half, 6'1", 190, Rod, running 10.53, 10.45, and 20.7 as a junior, and is physical at wide receiver. There aren't a lot of those guys, and you could be as good a safety as you could be wide receiver, some colleges think. He's probably one of those guys, CJ.
Yeah, that's where I was going. You can't ignore the speed. Another guy that I'm very high on is Daylon McCutchen. I think he's as smooth a route runner of anybody that you'll see in this class. The issue with him and Texas potentially is that lack of top-end speed that we're seeing Texas pursue with Tecorian Moore, Kelshon Johnson, Tanook Hines. These guys are all 10.3, 10.4. I'm not sure if that's what you'll see right now with Daylon McCutchen.
We have a super chat here from George Lopez. Thank you very much for the super chat. And all the questions tonight, guys. Great content as always. Hook 'em horns. What's the latest on DB recruiting? Hey, Rod, I want to get your thoughts on this because sometimes guys commit in June and they're quickly not forgotten about, but you move on to the next target, right? I want you to give everybody your thoughts from the interview with Caleb Chester last week. I was watching it because it was after B.J. Johnson just dropped the bomb. not an over-the-shoulder fade. He dropped the bomb. Mm-hmm. Then Caleb Chester came on. And I was looking at your expression, Rod, and you were impressed with Caleb Chester's film breakdown of his own plays for his age.
Yeah. No, it was very brilliant. Impressed. Yeah, because the thing about it is C.J. was there with me, and we witnessed it. He was so enthusiastic about breaking down his own film, and he was about to break down the whole highlight reel. Coverage he was in, technique he played. You can even tell he was going back to some of his film notes. He was like, yeah, but that quarterback, his ball placement, I tried to undercut it, but, I didn't really think he was going to be able to make that throw. And he got deep into the weeds in it, and he tried to break down just a couple of plays. But he just shows
he was going to go on all night, Rod.
He would have went. He would have done the whole thing. I swear he'd have done it. We just let him go. He'd done the whole thing. I probably should have just let him do it. It would have been great content. But my point is when you heard him talk about it, the thorough detail he went into about, what he was thinking, the technique, the alignment, the coverage they were in, what his keys were. It did remind me of when they bring in, DBs and bring up any position really into the combine draft meetings, like the combine meetings prior to draft, and they just want you to talk ball. They just want you to now they'll mess with you a little bit and ask you some stupid questions, of course, but there comes a time in that meeting where they want you to talk ball. They're going to pull up a video and they want you to talk them through it. And I remember when they pulled up with me was when the interception I had in the Texas OU game. Like all the coaches kept telling me they said I was in zone coverage. And I was like, no, we're in man coverage. I said, we had a man check. We go tango. Tango, I play outside cut. Whoever I'm tangling with, they play the inside cut. And they were it was a reduced split. So essentially, the running back to me was my number two. Because we were keying on it was a matchup-based principle. And Oklahoma loved to run that wheel route with that running back coming out. Sark loves it. Sark loves that wheel route. And when they run from a reduced set, then we played inside out. And then all the coaches were like, you were in man coverage? And they were just blown away by it. Similarly, you can get a lot. You can extrapolate a lot from somebody's breaking down their own film about how much football they know and about how deep they are into the weeds and the details, right, of the breakdown in the film study. And for him, you can tell, Caleb Chester, very detailed-oriented football student. Like he's a student of the game, and I can tell that just from talking to him.
We got a question here. We do need to discuss this. Please discuss tight end before signing off. We have that question. This has kind of made me laugh. And then we have this from David Keith Williams. To me, there are clear similarities between Caleb Edwards and Deuce Robinson from height, weight, play style. or they're both from what are views. All right, so on that question, I think Deuce may be a little longer, speed faster, maybe a little more shifty, but Caleb Edwards is a very good player. For high frame-wise, there are a lot of similarities there. I think Caleb Edwards is a guy. I'll say this. I was told twice that last on that June 7th through 9th official visit, there were people that were extremely impressed with Caleb Edwards, like more than I think they thought they were going to be, even though he'd been on campus in April. As far as tight ends, CJ, we left out one very important one this weekend. Guys, Texas needs to make a big move for. I totally whiffed on it. We have so much going through our minds. I'll admit I blew the coverage on this one. Nick Townsend may be at the top of my list because, look, Nick Townsend, Alabama has done a great job with him. He was just at A&M. He went out to USC. I think it's going to come down to Texas and Bama. I think Texas has work to do headed in this weekend. And, Rod, I don't know if you've had a chance to break down Nick Townsend. Maybe we'll do that this week leading in since you've been doing an awesome job breaking down some of these guys.
Absolutely.
Nick Townsend, 6'3 and a quarter, 6'3 and a half, 226, and ran 10.92, fully automatic time 100.
How big is he?
6'3 and a half, 226, and ran 10.92 in the district in the 100, fully automatic time. He only got beat by two more kinds. And he's just as physical. He's a physical defensive player that wants to play tight end. He has got elite skills nationally. So that's a great point, everybody bringing up tight end. The chat's better than I am. It's a huge weekend for Jeff Banks with Nick Townsend this weekend. Obviously, Amari Winston will be on his official visit. He visited Auburn a few weeks ago. But Nick Townsend, dude, certified dude at tight end, big weekend coming up for Texas with him. And somebody's asked also about Michael Terry. I ran into actually somebody Saturday that kind of, CJ, we can't say who, that had seen Michael Terry play and said, that guy would be a heck of a tight end. And I was like, yeah, that's what I like to hear because I just want to be right. But now Michael Terry's a great athlete. But
this I was about to bring up that conversation too, Jerry.
This is a former NFL player that played a skill position that said, I've seen this guy play, and I think he may be a tight end long-term in his best position.
Ooh. Yeah, 100%. I mean, it makes sense. You see the skills. You see the how that might translate if you put 20, 25 pounds on him, which I believe he can add that to his frame and still maintain that athleticism 100%. Again, he's a 10.8 guy in the 100 meter at 218 right now. You can get him up to about 240, 245, and that will maintain. The question is, and like most converted tight ends, does that physicality translate to the trenches?
Yeah.
And that's where I think Nick Townsend at the moment, you see that in his play. It's not something that he's had to learn over the years. Right. It's something that he comes in having the ability and the want to go hit somebody across the line of scrimmage that's just as big or bigger.
Rick Ambergy has this question. Does Texas like Townsend more arms? I believe Townsend's been the top tight end on the board for a while.
He's
an elite, elite athlete nationally.
That's the play style, right?
Player. Yeah.
Yep.
All right, guys, we have time for a couple more questions. Man, we're up to 50, over 5,200 people watching us right now. So thank you all for your continued support. We've talked about a lot of things. We just set recruiting. If you, for the Texas fans just joining in, on Texas Football this morning, there was an interview with Cameron Dicker. CJ did yesterday at the Cole Pittman Charity Golf Tournament, which is an unbelievably awesome event put on by Todd, former Texas player, and BJ Johnson. And Sloan Thomas and Roy Williams. I also interviewed the big three. That's up on Texas Football. You got to listen to that. Their stories, they're funny, jabbing at each other. That's talked about what they liked about Rod Babers as a corner on there. So that was a lot of fun as well. So make sure and watch that. If we can't get to your questions tonight, we got a couple minutes left. Coffee and football in the morning, winning drive tomorrow afternoon. We'll get to all these questions because there's so much going on recruiting. Thank you to all. I can't name them all. Thank you to all for the super chats, all the questions tonight. We love you guys. We love talking ball and recruiting with you guys. W.A. Jones here. I want to bring this up. Terry was running a 10.7 right after basketball season, hadn't even been training. That's part of his upside. And that, I think, is what makes Michael Terry such an intriguing prospect is, look, there are two guys. If you just say Michael Terry's an athlete, maybe tight end could be his position. He reminds me of Amari Nyblak. And I've said that, and that's not because Nyblak's at Texas. I watched Nyblak in high school when he was being nationally recruited, ended up at Alabama. And Terry's going to move similar to a wide receiver that could be a tight end. That's what Amari Nyblak does. They have a different level of athleticism at that position. As hellacious of a player as JT Sanders was, these guys are more top-flight athletes that could play that position. I bring up JT Sanders because he played outside receiver and defensive end, but he wanted to be an offensive player similar to Michael Terry. And Michael Terry's a very, very high-end athlete, man. And that is the thing that Texas has. There's some big-time tight end prospects. Caleb Edwards is very good as an inline guy with some big old frame as well. Amari Winston's coming in this weekend. But you look at Nick Townsend, you look at Michael Terry as well. Michael Terry's an athlete. And, man, there's some tough calls to make at athlete and tough call to make at tight end coming up for Texas. W.A. Jones-Sark says it has it rolling. All right, guys, that's going to do it for tonight. Thank you so much for the questions. 5,400 people almost on right now. We'll get to your questions. Coffee and football in the morning, winning drive in the afternoon. CJ, Rod, any parting thoughts before we get out of here?
Happy Father's Day to everybody. Enjoy the rest of it. God bless.
Happy Father's Day. And we'll have all this updated again this weekend, loading up into what will be another big-time official visit weekend this weekend coming up for Texas.
And if you want to read more about the updates today on players, interviews, ontexasfootball.com, not a better time to join ontexasfootball.com. Be an OTF OG member, $39.95 annual subscription, $20 off annual subscription. A lot of you guys, well over 1,000 have taken us up on that. We love all you guys being OTF OGs tuning in here. So everybody have a great night. We'll talk to you in the morning.
Hook 'em horns.